with the Memories, a series of lively tales, each one complete, all of them from Ben Arad's popular book entitled Yarns of the Oasis Club, adapted and directed by Charles L. Gaskell, and played by a group of men and women selected by Ben Arad himself as ideally fitted to portray to the life his famous character creation. Some miles out of Barstow, how many I do not know, west of Tonopah, east of those mighty sand dunes known as the Ghost Hills, south of the Sierra Blanca, miles and miles from the confusing, maddening world of today, here before us now, seemingly asleep but very wide awake indeed, is the beautiful plateau called Memory Mesa. On the northern edge of Memory Mesa, dipping downward toward the gold and silver mines in Nowhere Gulch, is the old shack rackety town of Red Dog, as immortal in history as Rome, not for its ancient grandeur, nor for its modern glory, but for its never-to-be-forgotten men and women, characters that make a grand and glorious day in this drab year of universal discontent. Among the important characters we shall meet are Tonopah Pete.
Yours very, very truly, Tonopah Pete.
Barstow Bill.
Acknowledging the same and at your service, Barstow Bill.
Coyote Joe.
As ever and most fondly, I'm Coyote Joe.
Bark for the ladies, Joe.
Ever obligingly, I hereby bark.
Now, and hold tight, friends, for you're going to meet royalty now. Let me present Madam Tonopah Pete, known from the icy mining camps of Alaska to the hot sands of Mojave as...
The Dowry!
Howdy, men, you three musketeers. What are you thinking about just now, about dinner?
Yeah, that's right.
Countess, I'm thinking that the Queen of Sheba didn't have nothing whatsoever on you.
One time you's right.
I agrees completely with your sentiment.
No, sirree, boys. The Queen of Sheba didn't have nothing on my countess and didn't have much on herself.
At the same time, boys, the great Queen of Sheba certainly did put something over on King Solomon, and it wasn't his.
Ma'am, so good.
Tonight, windy and stormy, an early November night, these three old friends and wranglers are seated before a fire of mesquite in the Oasis Club, talking over old times. Old Tonopah Pete is speaking.
The weather's kind of blowing tonight. Seems like it's always blowing and snowing around the election time, eh?
It do.
Yeah.
Politician is a cold-hearted game, so I opine that cold, blowing weather's proper and right.
I say it is.
It are.
Guess we Democrats will pull the plows as usual and eat the fodder.
Not so sure, boys. You see, there's an awful shortage of Democrats these days. Most of them passed away singing in their sleep, so I hear.
Reminds me of that yarn you used to tell about Packard, the man.
Yeah, did you ever hear that yarn, Coyote?
Never did, but I'd be obliged to hear it.
Yes, go on, Tonopah. It kind of makes the blood tingle.
Well, that fellow Packard was a mining man. That is, he's really more of a prospector. And late in the 60s, he takes four men with him to do the assessment work on a claim he owned near Rosita, which was in Colorado,
yeah, sure.
But which ain't there no more, owing to the influx of civilization in general and Eastern civilizers in particular.
Yeah, civilizers in particular.
Yeah,
it was a terrible winter that winter, and Packard and his four helpers got snowed in. And that wasn't all. The grub run out.
Oh, well,
the temperature fell down and down until the moisture froze. There was no game to kill and eat. A week or so, they was all about to pass out. Then it was that this fella Packard up and slayed his four assessment workers and ate them up, every last man. Naturally, he didn't want to die of starvation himself.
And neither of them assessment men wanted to starve to death.
Of course not. They up and told Packard as much. Leastwise, so his four after they found the bones of the assessment men scattered around the shack. But in them days, slaying a man or two wasn't counted as much as stealing a horse.
Sure, sure.
Still, it went hard with Packard, even though he proved a good character and all that. He was sent up for it.
How come? Didn't them four assessment men advise us as how they wasn't designed to starve to death? Wasn't package crime only a sort of mercy
killing? Well, yes, the jury and judge both looked at it in that light, but you see, there's
how
something
come
else.
How the judge and jury sent him up then?
Well, you see, them four assessment men was all Democrats.
Democrats, eh? I see. They sent poor old Packard up then because he ate pies and meat.
Not at all, Coyote. You see, it was this way. There was a majority in the county of only four Democrats. And when them assistant men was killed in that by Packard, the county went Republican.
Well, yeah, sure.
And the judge and jury was Democrats. Mm. Old Judge Grimes explained that the Packard charge is quite satisfied to bow to the will of the court. The crime you committed, you rotten monster, you, the judge said. We could condone, but in view of the circumstances and your awful predicament, but the men you killed and knit up was Democrats. Hence, yeah. The court sentenced you to 6 months in the county jail. And heaven help you when the fleas in that old barn get a foul of your fat.
Sure.
Everybody present at the time, being all good Democrats, we thought that the Senate was none too strong, especially when the next election was won by the Republican in a majority of one.
Well, of course.
It's as well gone.
Well, when Packard was sentenced, he weighed 264, and when his 6 months was over, he tipped the scales at 98.
But
them fleas in the county jail was all swelled up like a, well, them Republicans after the election. Hear them sounds of reverie by nighttime?
Yes. There's some new dancing gals in Jake's saloon tonight. Some of them poor B gals off Main and Sixth, et cetera,
yeah,
and law.
Yes, them poor B gals, that's Liz also. Reminds me somehow of poor Hagar. They never drive the Abrahams to the desert. The only women they abuse.
I never liked the physiography of Jake. Kind of unnatural looking, huh?
Unnatural looking men is not always unnatural men, but I always disfavor an unnatural looking feller.
Yeah, me too.
Did you ever glance in the looking glass, Coyote?
I know the feller named Marlboro, the man with the... Hey, boys, did I ever tell you about that politician, a feller named Marlboro?
Well, no, go and tell it, going afar. Of course, you and me was there, Bob, too, and knows all about that political shark Marlboro, but get Stonapaw go and tell yarn again.
Yeah, sure. He'll go to sleep on us if we don't let him tell yarns. What's the yarn, Stonapaw?
Well, I always was a bit suspicious of a fellow's important drop of whiskey, sir. I feel that a heavy brush on the chin become a kind of a camouflage for a villain. Whiskers are only chin cushions, you see.
Yes, I'm that way myself, Stonapaw. For instance, I don't like a fellow with a red nose. I mean nothing personal, Bob. I mean a nose that's too red, a violent red.
Can't agree with you entirely, man. I figure that a red nose is a natural result of a certain grand old custom which myself I deeply respect. Never saw a man with a red nose that didn't have a warm heart.
Yes, and the cultivation of a red nose is one of man's kindest, pleasantest tasks.
Okay.
You was referring to a yarn.
Yeah, I mentioned whiskers. Whenever I hear that a candidate has thrown his hat into the presidential ring, I endeavor to find out not what his politics is, but just how chummy he is with a razor. I find there's exceptions to all rules, of course.
Charles King.
Of course.
Now, take the time we was mining in the Oregon country in the Greenback Mine. A certain fella dropped into camp one day, and he had enough hair on his jowls to start a mattress factory.
Yeah.
His head was as bald as a coot. But that wasn't real trouble. Gentlemen, I believe every hair of them whiskers was as pink as pie.
Pink?
Pink?
Did you say pink?
Pink is what I
pink
said.
Pink Galoozas?
Your Galoozas was pink as the set of the sun. You know I was that time owner and boss of the Greenback.
Yes.
So I said to him as soon as I recovered from the shock of them whiskers, "What is your particular business down here, mister? We always like to know something about strangers. No offense, of course."
"Don't mention it, my friend. Everybody's my friend here. My name's Marlboro, yes, sir. Austin Tecumseh Marlboro."
"Yes, sounds more than I listen to."
"I'm running for office. I'm going to be your next county surveyor."
"Says you. Yes. Just kind of what can we men do, if so be it God's will, to afflict us that way?"
"Good joke. Well, I'll be obliged if you let me talk to the boys for about 5 minutes after chow."
"I'd like not to betray them. I mean, you see, mister, that is..."
"I'm listening, that is..."
"Tell me, for Pete's sake, man, what's the matter with them whiskers on your face?"
"My whiskers? Well, man, those whiskers, sir, are my fortune. Absolutely my fortune."
"Well, maybe, say, in Los Angeles, but here, to speak frankly, mister, they're your misfortune."
"Why, What do you mean?
What I mean, Ned, me and the boys ain't much took on fellas with whiskers,
no.
Especially pinging.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you was clean shaved so we could observe the facial outcroppings, well, I and the boys might feel different.
Well, I'm amazed.
I always like to see the cards that win the pot. Likewise, the fizzy mahogany of fellas who we vote for.
Sure, sure.
Now, if you shave off them pink whiskers...
What? Destroy my most distinguishing
features? I've known less things to extinguish better men, sir.
But I can't shave them off now. If I did, my constituents wouldn't know.
Maybe that'd help you.
I have an idea. A brilliant idea. I always get them at the right moment.
Mm.
Brilliant idea. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Go ahead.
If you gentlemen will get out and work for my election and vote for me, I'll promise you that when I'm elected, I'll come clean. That is, as far as the whiskers are concerned.
In the interest of civilization and sanitation, we accept your term. Amen?
Yeah, sure, right. Sure. Hooray,
thank you, gentlemen.
Hooray, 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 hooray. Yes, we told Pink Whiskers to go hoot his stuff, and he did. We all got in and rustled for the chap, and he actually won, Pink Whiskers and all.
Pretty good yarn, Tony Paul.
Wait, I ain't done. The tragedy's come.
Did he shave off there?
He did not. Sam Kelly come back from loss a month later and reported he was still wearing them as big as ever. That infuriated the boys. Five of them planning to sneak into loss and grab him and put the razor to him. And we got a letter from him saying he'd be with us Christmas night. So we just laid and waited for him. Now, children, grown-ups, and all the Santa Claus, I'm going to yank these presents off the tree and hand them around as directed. The first one I see is this here cigar box. By the Great Horn Spoon, it's addressed to me. Let me see now. Let's see. Why... What in the tarnation is this?
It's them pink whiskers.
Tied in a flamey blue ribbon, too.
Greetings and a Merry Christmas to you all.
And there he stood, Mulberry's face as clean as a baby's skin.
And have you kept them whiskers?
They're hanging on the wall in my shack right now.
Still pink? Of
course not. They're mean, dark brown.
What become of Mulberry?
Well, here's a letter come in today. It's signed Austin Tecumseh Mulberry. He says he's coming to Red Dog to make a speech. He's running for governor this time, and... Who's your boyfriend, Countess?
Now, just see who's here.
Who in the heck is the man?
Well, boys, here he is. Big as ever. Meet our new county surveyor, Austin Tecumseh Marlborough.
But he's still sporting them pink whiskers.
Yes, he said he was going to shave more.
Say, this is getting spooky.
Steady, men. Even though I am your new county surveyor and powerless to prevent the laws of nature from operating, why, everything grows, even my pink whiskers.
Yeah.
And your nose, that's grown redder than it was, Coyote Joe. Yes, and you've grown older and sadder than you were, Barstow Bill.
No, that's no
and Tona Pa Pete, old pal, you've grown happier.
So be
absolutely
so be.
Happier. And why have you grown happier? I know.
You do?
In what way have I grown, Mr. Marlborough?
Why, you've grown younger, Countess. Fair and more precious.
Hooray! Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why Tona Pa Pete's grown happier. And may we all grow happier as we grow older and grow more happy as we grow thoughtful.
What to become of Mulberry?
Well, some years later, he got mistook for a horse thief as had pink whiskers, and they heisted me up to a cottonwood limb. Maybe if they'd do the same to all politicians, we'd... Well, what do you think about it, man?
Beyond You Just Listened To is the first of a series produced by the Ben Arrett Associates, entitled Mesa Memories, adapted and directed by Charles L. Gaskill and played by Ted Arthur as Tona Pa Pete, Charles Walden as Barstow Bill, Earl Keen as Coyote Joe, Carolyn LaRue as the Countess, and Bud McTaggart as Austin Tecumseh Marlborough. Your announcer is Helen Fair. Thank you for listening.